Girlfriends, episode number 362. Improve your marriage daily with Kathleen Billings. Hello and welcome to Girlfriends. I'm Danielle Bean. I'm a wife and a mom, and I'm on a mission to help you know your worth as a woman so you can find peace, balance, and joy in family living. This week, we are talking about holy Catholic marriages and ways to improve your marriage one day at a time with author Kathleen Billings. Let's go. Hey, girlfriend, how are you? So glad you are here. Before we dive into this week's content, I just wanted to give a reminder to you that we have an ongoing book club, and you're missing out if you are not a part of it, over at girlfriendscommunity.com. I would love for you to join us. So this is a part of the online community that is part of what we do here on the Girlfriends podcast. It's kind of an extension of what we do here on the podcast. If you love what we share here, you're going to love being part of the Girlfriends community, but specifically the book club. We're a couple of weeks in now, and we are reading Diary of a Country Priest by George Bernanos. And it was a little bit challenging in the beginning. We started reading this book, and then a number of people in the community were like, I'm not sure I have anything intelligent to say about this book. I feel like I'm kind of lost in it. And anyway, we can do hard things is what we decided together as a Girlfriends community. And we've carried on with the book, and I am loving this. I love having this in my life. So every other week on Tuesday nights, we meet for a live chat about the book. This is in addition to our weekly live chats that happen on Wednesday night in the Girlfriends community. But these are specifically focused on the book, and we're kind of just going through a guided discussion of the book, not perfectly and not in a super academic way, but just in a way that really brings out some of the things that we're seeing and experiencing in the book. And I love having these conversations, so I know you'll love it too. It's not too late for you to join us. So come on over to girlfriendscommunity.com. You can check it all out for free. And, you know, this is a great way to kind of extend your experience of the Girlfriends podcast and begin to make some real life connections with other women who share your faith and share your values. So hope to see you over there. Also, before we talk with Kathleen here today, I wanted to share an Instagram post that kind of came to my attention. So we had Blair Size on the show a couple of weeks ago, and she was sharing about home decor and, you know, her great online shop with ethically sourced products and where you can really meet the artisans behind, you know, the things that you're going to use to decorate your home. I was thinking along those lines when I happened upon this Instagram post, which is by Mary Lentz, who is, it looks like she is, I don't know what kind of Protestant she is. She's Protestant. She's Christian, wife and mom who shares on Instagram. And this really stood out to me because I think it really speaks to some of the struggles that many of us have with regard to homemaking, home decor, and that kind of thing in the world today. This is what she wrote. Ladies, we are thinking of our homes all wrong. Social media has changed our perceptions of how houses should look. Our houses were never intended to be perfectly curated with seamless aesthetics and have finishes at every turn. Our house is not a museum. It's a tool for ministry. Our houses are working houses, not museum exhibits. They nurse the sick, welcome strangers, and feed families. For the Christian, the house is an extension of the church. A house with happy children will have a few toys on the floor. A kitchen that provides home-cooked meals will have dishes in the sink and food on the counters. Houses that are lived in will look, well, lived in. We should aim to have beautiful homes, but the world defines a beautiful home based on aesthetics and cosmetics. That is like a whitewashed tomb. As a Christian, a beautiful home has everything to do with the love and service within. Don't let discontentment stop you from opening your home for hospitality. You will have a lot more peace in this life when you understand and accept that your house is meant to work and it doesn't have to be insta-worthy to be hospitable. Your house is for serving the Lord and serving others, so put your house to work. Do not wait for special occasions to use your nice things. Don't fret about the laundry pile if someone shows up unannounced. Dirty the counters with a home-cooked meal. Let your children play with their toys. Enjoy your house. No amount of shiplap, decor, or black fixtures will ever compare to the beauty of using your home to serve the Lord. I encourage you not to let perfection you see on social media affect your contentment, nor make you self-conscious. A working house is the fruit of your hands. keep a tidy house, yes, but use your home for fellowship and ministry. Mortify personal vanity that keeps you from glorifying the Lord in your home. Okay, so I don't know this lady, but I do follow her on Instagram. And I just thought these were such words of wisdom. And it really, it was a great new concept for me to consider your house as a tool, your home as a tool for ministry. That means welcoming in other people. But first and foremost, ministry with your family. You are serving and feeding and clothing and entertaining your own family within the walls of your home. It is a living, breathing space. It is not a museum exhibit. And so many times that's like the goal that I think I unconsciously, or not in a spoken way, but I just have in my mind when I'm like trying to clean the house, like before people come over or something, like I want it to look like a museum exhibit, but that's not what we live in. That's not a tool. That's not a useful tool for ministry. So anyway, it really spoke to me, and I thought it was along the lines of things that Blair was sharing a couple of weeks ago. So I wanted to share it here, not connected to this week's topic. And yet I thought that was really helpful. And it kind of connects to that idea of shabby, or is it shaggy? I think it's shabby hospitality. That idea of being hospitable and welcoming people into your homes with some level of imperfection and being okay with that, you know, where she's saying, mortify your vanity about your home. That's something for me to think about. And I hope maybe that's encouraging or inspiring toward you too. Anyway, all right, let's dive into this week's conversation. This week, I had the opportunity to speak with Kathleen Billings, who is a friend that I've had the privilege of running into a couple of different times at different conferences. And she's just a lovely woman. And she has this beautiful project that she's worked on together with her husband, Troy, a book that they've written to take you day by day, building and nurturing a holy marriage. And I love the concept, and I love what Kathleen shares about it. So here we go. Take a listen. We have a special guest who's joining us here on Girlfriends Today. Kathleen Billings is here with me today. Kathleen lives with her husband, Troy, and their five children on their 5-acre homestead in Greenville, South Carolina. She is a national Catholic speaker and writer for a number of different books and publications, but her most recent project is what she's here to talk about. Together, Kathleen and her husband, Troy, are co-authors of Simply Love, Catholic Marriage, Day by Day, which was recently published by our Sunday Visitor. Welcome to Girlfriends, Kathleen. I'm so happy to have you.
Hello. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. I was so excited to see this book finally hit print, because I happen to know a little bit of the story as you and your husband were going through the process of writing this book together. Yes. And you shared with me some of your struggles and your frustrations. So maybe just to get our conversation started, share with us, how did this book come to be? What's the story behind it?
Yeah. Well, I remember running into you right after we lost the first version of the book, and you were so supportive. I think I saw you at a conference, and I was like,
oh, no, you won't believe what just happened. Yeah. And,
so to give a little backdrop, the idea came to us about 5 years ago. So at the beginning of each new year, my husband and I set goals for the new year. We go to adoration, and then we go out to dinner afterwards and kind of write down our goals. But 5 years ago in adoration that one night, this idea came to me to write daily devotional for Catholic couples. And we have been doing lots of marriage ministry for years. We were writing for the USCCB for your marriage website. We have a blog there called Two to Tango. So we had kind of, you know, been writing and speaking on marriage for quite a while up to that point. And so when this inspiration came to me, I thought, surely somebody has written a book like this. There's a lot of books out there on marriage. There's a lot of Catholic books specifically on marriage, but there actually has never been a book written that's a daily devotional, something that couples can sit down every day for a few minutes and reflect on marriage together. So over the next few months, kind of researched it a little bit more, prayed about it, had a chance to pitch it to our Sunday Visitor at a conference in July of 2018. They were excited to publish it. So over the next year, we wrote the book together. So I had pitched it originally for myself to write it, although my husband is a great writer also, but just a little busier probably than I am. But they asked if we could both co-write it. So we did co-write it. And the few months leading up to the deadline of when the book was due, which was July of 2019, we had a lot of spiritual warfare kind of surrounding the whole final last few months of writing the book. From like, we have two cars, both of our cars were in serious car accidents, one of which put our whole family in the ER for several hours with some complications. I had a miscarriage. We had just a compilation of lots of things that happened within a very short amount of time that obviously were very distracting and very challenging things to go through as a family. Probably the biggest being my husband had traveled a lot up to that point, but never overseas very frequently. But about 4 months before the book was due, he was assigned a project in Costa Rica, and we were living in Chicago at the time.
Okay, yeah.
He was asked to go to Costa Rica every week, which like door to door was about 10 hours. So you can imagine the toll that would take on a family and a marriage. And so literally we were like physically separated like 90% of the time for the last 4 months before the book was due. So he was writing in the airplane. I was writing at home. We had a lot of, you know, phone calls. So it was just a challenging time. So it finally was all done. We went to submit the book. It was about 10 p.m. on a Sunday night. He was getting ready to fly out again about 3:30 in the morning the next day. I'm not good with technology. So he's always kind of helping me with that stuff. I'm like, I need you. This is such a large file. Can you help me upload it to send it off? So as we were uploading the book, we kind of got the screen of death. My computer crashed, and when we rebooted it, it was the book and the backup book was completely gone from the hard drive. I also had it saved in OneDrive in the cloud. And then just a small amount of the book, about 25 of the devotions, were saved on a flash drive. Definitely learned my lesson through all this to have it saved in more locations than I did currently at that time. But I thought that was enough. You know, I was naive at the time thinking, okay, it's on the hard drive, it's in OneDrive. And even when something is in OneDrive, it usually goes to the recycle bin and you have 30 days before it's deleted from the recycle bin. Well, we have a good friend that did computer forensics for the FBI. So he kind of has all the latest and greatest technology. So he took my computer for about 30 days, studied everything, found that a malicious virus was written to attack specifically. And I think I saw you sometime in those 30 days.
It was right in there. You were right in the midst of it. And I was like, I cannot believe this girl's story.
So it was really, I mean, it was devastating, as you can imagine. Because we had poured so much of our time and hearts into writing this book. But clearly God has obviously had a bigger plan and much often what he puts out there for us is much different than what we expect, right?
Yes, exactly.
We're heading one way and God's like, oh no, we're going a different direction here. So he's brought a lot of beauty out of it, but there was a virus written specifically to attack it on the hard drive and in OneDrive. And the code was written in such a way that did not allow us to actually retrieve the book until day 31. So it's in the recycle bin for 30 days and 31, then it goes out of the recycle bin. My husband can explain this a little bit better, the technology side, than I can. But the way I understand it is because of the way the code was written, we were never able to retrieve it from OneDrive. Obviously, had conversations with Microsoft and whatnot. But in the end, we lost the entire book, and minus the 25 we had saved on the flash drive. And so we had to rewrite the whole book. Our Sunday visitor was very gracious and understanding. But then the pandemic hit. So it's been this very long journey from when we first wrote the book to it finally now coming out. So it officially was launched on Valentine's Day, the last day of National Marriage Week. So just last week.
That's so great.
So it's super exciting to finally see it in print and almost surreal because it's been such a long journey.
Yeah.
From beginning to end. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you find in that rewriting process, were you approaching it differently? Were you trying to actually remember specifically what you had written, or were you just like, what did that process look like? I'm fascinated as a writer. Like, I don't know. That's a challenge.
It definitely was very challenging because I was like, wait, did I already write this? Because it's a daily devotional. Mm-hmm. And each day starts with a quote from either a saint or scripture. Then there's a reflection, then a prayer, which that part we're super excited about. But I really had a hard time remembering, like, have I used this quote? And I did have a system, you know, to mark it off, but because there's so much information in your head, it was challenging definitely the first time to make sure I wasn't repeating myself or that kind of thing. But as far as being prepared to not lose it, like on the technology side, I like saved it in a gazillion places. I had
a printer. I would be so paranoid. I know.
And then we had, of course, I mean, we had a lot of people praying for us the first time around, but we kind of upped our game the second time and had people very specifically praying for us. I had my St. Benedict medal sitting on my computer every time I wrote, bless my computer with holy water, you know, kind of was spiritually prepared and, you know, just on my computer.
Yeah. I totally get that. And I would be paranoid about it, but also like you said, like sprinkling your computer with holy water, which is kind of funny, but at the same time, it's real. Like when Monsignor Stephen Rossetti came on Girlfriends, he's an exorcist. One of the things he was talking about was that in these kinds of situations with spiritual warfare, that demons will attack your computer equipment or technology or mess things up if there's like, you know, a good project that they'd like to mess up a little bit. So right. He was saying before you do any project, like just pray and, you know, trust in God's goodness and don't be paranoid about it. But at the same time, I think it's real.
And wanting to destroy. Well, we've been in ministry for years, as I know you have also. And the best way I can describe it is I feel like we had a lot of spiritual battles prior to this throughout, you know, years of ministry and in our marriage. Mm-hmm. But when this happened, it felt like a war, you know, I mean, it was really like very intense. And so, but the enemy is out there. And as you said, we have to be very aware and very prepared and know that, you know, anytime we try to do anything good for our Lord, you know, we're going to be attacked, but at different levels for different projects and different things we do.
And now it's a great selling point. Like now you can buy this book that Satan doesn't want you to read, right? Yeah.
That could be the subtitle. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I think that's a good thing to sell it with. I think people are going to want to get it for just that reason, but they should get it for other reasons too. Can you, you already described a little bit kind of like what the structure is like, but maybe you can just describe a little more in detail. It's like, for me, what I loved about it is that it's so very doable, because sometimes people will tell me like, I don't even know where to begin. Like with a daily prayer with my husband, it feels awkward and I want some kind of structure. This is the thing for structure if you want to get started. So just describe that a little bit.
Yeah, sure. So it's a very practical book and it doesn't take a lot of time to do each day. As I said, it begins with either a quote from a saint or from scripture. And then there's a very brief little reflection, like less than, I think 400 or 500 words each day on that specific quote pertaining to marriage. And then there is a prayer that also references whatever the couple is reflecting on that day, whether that be communication or finances or juggling, you know, activities and whatnot. You know, it's a very practical book. It's definitely meant to inspire couples to deepen their love for one another and the Lord and their walk together. It's not a very theologically deep book. There's definitely obviously a lot of theological concepts and teachings from the church on what the sacrament of marriage is, but the book is mostly how do we live that out in the day-to-day life. So we're really hopeful that it will meet couples where they're at and just the trenches of everyday living and striving to have a holy marriage and how challenging that can be. So that's kind of the layout. I would say it takes maybe a few minutes each day. Obviously, there's opportunities to discuss it in depth a little bit more. There might be one reflection that really touches a couple where they're at that particular season of life. And so they might want to, you know, have a little more time to discuss it. But, you know, I have one friend that said she just got it on her Kindle because she travels a lot and then she got the hard copy for her husband. So it's a doable opportunity for couples every day, whether, you know, you're not together or you are able to be together to do it. You can take those few minutes, whether over the phone or together, to just come together and, you know, have a little bit of time to enrich your marriage. So,
yeah, I love that. I love how practical it is. And it's very encouraging to people that maybe aren't, you know, praying for and inside of their marriage in that way. So it's a useful tool for that reason. What have you found? Like, how is your relationship different now with your husband from before you wrote this book together? Have you grown as a result of doing this project?
Yeah, that is a great question. Absolutely. Absolutely. Our marriage has definitely grown significantly doing this project together. I would say the first time around, we definitely were not as spiritually aligned in writing it. And we both kind of had different ideas and directions we wanted to go with it, you know. But this time, I feel like going through this whole process and this journey, we realized, okay, God really has a plan for this book. And it became very clear to us that he wanted this book and we really had to stay the course and persevere and be focused and really come together in prayer and not let the little petty things get in the way of getting this book out there. And definitely the second time they're around, there was definitely a lot of challenges also, but nothing like the first time around, because I feel like we were much more spiritually equipped as a couple. Mm-hmm. And the pandemic kind of happened in the middle of this. So naturally we were given an opportunity to be together more. He wasn't traveling as much, and that was great for our marriage, but just a great opportunity to have more time to pray together every day. And honestly, we hadn't been doing quite as much, you know, prior, just the two of us, you know, mm-hmm. when we wrote the book the first time around. We definitely always prayed together as a family, but this really brought us together as a couple daily praying together. We're like, if we're going to encourage others to do this, we need to be, you know, walking the talk. And of course, we were striving to do that, but we definitely upped our game the second time around.
Yeah.
You know, and it's definitely brought us much closer. I think, you know, every couple God has a mission for, right? Like there's mm-hmm. a purpose and a plan for every marriage. And we realized, okay, the Lord really wants us to do this. And we need to be united to be able to do this. And any couple, whatever that mission is that God has for you, if you're not united, you know, then Satan gets right between the two of you and it's everything crumbles, right? You know?
Right. Yeah. Oh, I love that it worked that way in your marriage. And maybe I would love to hear from you some more thoughts about what do you think modern marriages need most? I mean, of course, they need to be praying together. They need prayer. But beyond that, do you have any practical bits of advice? Because I hear from people all the time that are struggling in their marriages and feel alone in that struggle. Like, because I think in our church, you know, for good or for bad, we don't tend to lay this out there that sometimes, you know, it's, if you're going through a really tough time in your marriage, like it's sometimes encouraging to know other people go through that too. Like you're not alone in that struggle.
Right. I think that is very key, is just knowing that you're not alone. And a mm-hmm. lot of people feel like they are alone. They look at a family or a couple that is real involved in church or ministry or whatnot and think, oh, you know, everything's so beautiful for them, right? You
right. know, if only.
But yeah. But we all struggle, you know, I think that knowing you're not alone, but also just making time for one another. Couples today don't take time for one another. And I think that's where the enemy enters in, and also where couples can become very disconnected. It's not necessarily that they're doing one thing or another that's annoying their spouse. It's because they haven't taken that time to connect each day. Trey and I often speak on marriage, and one thing we will tell couples is take at least 15 minutes a day to connect. 15 minutes is only 1% of your time. Like if you're not taking 1% of your day to just connect with your spouse, there's something wrong. So often there's a lot of miscommunications and struggles in marriage just because couples are not making time for one another. Mm-hmm. And that's hard to do. You know, we get pulled in so many directions, but I would think the most important thing to recommend to couples is to just make sure you're taking that time to connect, to listen to one another, see what's on the other person's hearts, what they're struggling with. Mm-hmm. And then also community. It's really important to have a few good friends, other couples that are in the trenches and that you pray with and encourage and talk to, not necessarily to complain about your spouse, but to be able to share things that you each are struggling with and to pray for one another and encourage one another.
Yeah. So you and Troy have that kind of community where you live?
We are very blessed to have that. Yes, we are. Yes.
Oh, that's lovely. But, so, okay. But someone might be listening right now and saying, well, good for you, but I don't have that, right? Yeah. Where would you suggest people get started to look for that kind of connection or other couples in their community?
Right. Good question. Well, obviously church, you know, but if it's not naturally happening at your parish, you might want to see if there's any ministry specifically at your church that target marriages. Unfortunately, traditionally in the church, there hasn't been a lot of ministries for couples trying to grow their marriages. It's more if you're divorced or if you're widowed or marriage prep, but those of us in the trenches trying to live it, there's not traditionally a whole lot. I think there's definitely been a push in the last, you know, 5 to 8 years to have more in a parish setting, and the larger parishes typically do have something at least a few times a year. But if your parish does not have something, maybe talk to your pastor, talk to somebody who's in adult faith formation at your parish say, hey, I'm this is a need I have, or there's some other couples that you know in the parish that we might connect with. Yeah. Sometimes even just a mom's group at your parish, you might be able to find a couple through that. But mm-hmm. but that's the purpose of parish life, right? You know, right. to have that community. So it's a great place to start. It's not always where you're going to necessarily find it, but there's definitely people, I think, that you can target at your parish to ask to help you.
Right, right. Sometimes it just takes being proactive like that. Yeah, I think a lot of times, whether it's in our friendships or if we're looking for other couples we can connect with, that we feel very passive about it. Like we're waiting for someone to approach us. Well, if everybody's just waiting for someone to approach them, they're never going to get connected, right? So you need somebody to step out first and look to make that connection. So important to keep that in mind. But besides in real life mentors, do you have some favorite saints, your go-to saints with regard to praying for your marriage or examples for you in marriage?
Yeah. Well, Saint Joseph has always been one of my favorites.
Yeah.
And something I've recently started doing is, you know, Wednesdays is St. Joseph's Day. So that's a great day for us as wives to be praying for our husband, maybe specifically fasting for your husband if you can.
Mm-hmm.
So he's definitely one of my favorites. St. Therese of Lisieux, she wasn't married, but she talks about the little way. And I think often mm-hmm. we're always thinking we've got to do big things for God, but it's the little things we do each day, right, that make a difference. Especially in loving our spouse, loving our family, living a holy life. So I especially love St. Therese mm-hmm. as a model for just finding holiness in the everyday little things that we can do, whether that's, you know, it like at dinner time. Like I know my husband likes to sit down and eat dinner, not be interrupted. Now he's always gracious if there is an interruption. But if I can, you know, help clean up that mess that our you know, son in the middle of dinner spilled his milk or whatever, you know,
right.
Let him keep eating. It doesn't bother me as much as it bothers him. Right. So that's something little I could do just to love him in the moment.
Right.
So I feel like St. Therese is great with offering us a lot of examples of loving in the little things each day and turning those ordinary moments into extraordinary moments for God in our marriage and in our family.
Yeah,
so, that's beautiful. St. Joseph, those are two of my favorites.
Yeah, and, you know, and I agree, though, that her little way is very applicable to married life. Like I've often thought of it because it's in those little things that really end up mattering a lot, like the little sacrifice you might make, like that annoying thing he does, like, you know, and I always remember her description of a sister that kind of got on her nerves and how she like went out of her way to really love that sister to the point where that sister said, I'm her favorite, you know, and so, you know, and he is your favorite, right? So let's you know, put up with those little things and offer up those little sacrifices. And just there's such a beautiful calling to everyday holiness in that.
Absolutely. One little neat story I can share is, you know, the day that I pitched the book to the editor at our Sunday Visitor, it was in the context of a conference. And that day, Mass was in the evening, and I pitched the book that morning. And I remember looking at the saint of the day, and I don't even remember which saint it was. It was sometime late in July. But I remember thinking, oh, it's not a saint that I'm really familiar with or a more common saint. That's okay, you know. So, but that evening when I went to Mass after pitching the book, it happened to be a Franciscan priest who was doing Mass that night. And he said, you know, for us Franciscans, there's so many Franciscan saints that we have our own saint calendar. And today's feast day for the Franciscans is the day that the San Damiano cross spoke to St. Francis and said, go and rebuild my church, which you see is falling into ruin. And that, I just remember sitting there at Mass that night and being like, okay, Lord, this is your mission for me, for Troy and I, for our marriage. And for those not familiar with the story, St. Francis took it literally at first, like he was supposed to physically rebuild a church in Assisi, but soon realized that he was supposed to rebuild the church from within that was really struggling at that time, right? And if you look at, you know, society now, look at the church now, that if we don't rebuild marriages and family life, it's going to keep crumbling. So I feel like that is our mission. That is where God is calling us to use our gifts, our skill sets, our resources to help in whatever way God can use us to help rebuild marriages. And starting out by striving to live a holy one ourselves and be an example. Right. So that was very significant to hear that. And then kind of fast forwarding, our contract with our Sunday Visitor actually was written on the Feast of St. Francis. So he's definitely been an intercessor for us. But,
Another saint kind of guiding you through this publishing process. I love it. All right. Well, before we run out of time, I want to know, where can people find out more? I mean, can you get the book on Amazon? You mentioned that you write together a blog for the USCCB. Is that an ongoing thing that people can check out? Share the information with us.
Yes. Okay. So the book, Simply Love, Catholic Marriage Day by Day, is published by our Sunday Visitor. So obviously our Sunday Visitor website, you can get it there, but it's obviously on Amazon. It is kind of all over. We just found it on the Target website the other night.
Nice. Target, you have arrived.
So it's several Catholic bookstores online have it. Probably the most common, easiest one for people to get it is on Amazon. But we also have a blog called seasonsoftheheartandhome.com. There's a link on there to purchase it. And there's some other marriage resources. We no longer write for the USCCB, but our blog is still up there. And that is called Two to Tango. Okay. Because China met dancing.
Yes.
So I think that's kind of everything.
Okay. Yeah. And definitely, I want to recommend people get this. I mean, imagine what a great gift this is for a wedding gift or a bridal shower, like the perfect thing to give somebody who's embarking on the vocation of marriage. But more importantly than that, a gift you give yourself and your spouse is getting a copy of this book and just diving into it in a very doable way day by day. So I definitely recommend that. Kathleen, I want to thank you. And thank you to your husband, Troy, for making the time to write this book twice and make sure that it gets out there to the people. I'm so grateful to you, the generous way that you share your gifts. And thank you so much for coming on Girlfriends to talk about it.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for all you do and just for the opportunity to share our story here today.
Happy to do it. All right. We've got more of the show coming up for you. But first, we're going to take a quick break. I'm Danielle Bean, and you're listening to the Girlfriends Podcast.
Hi, my name is Father Mike Schmitz. I am the host of the Catechism in a Year podcast. If you've been following along with us, you know that God's plan for us is a plan of sheer goodness, that he wants to bring us into a relationship with him. You know that already. One of the ways that God actually brings us into this relationship and keeps us, sustains us in this relationship is through the sacraments. Again, you might know that already. You might further know that so many of us miss out on the beauty and the power of the sacraments. But Ascension has an answer to this. Ascension has created two new programs. One is called Renewed, your journey towards first reconciliation. The second is Received, your journey towards first Holy Communion. We know that our youth, they're our future. And yet at the same time, it's so hard oftentimes to reach them with this incredible news of God's love for them in reconciliation, God's love for them in the Eucharist. If you want to check out Ascension's new program, Renewed, your journey towards first reconciliation, and Received, your journey towards first communion, go to ascensionpress.com and sign up for a free preview.
Welcome back. All right, we're at the point in the show where I like to share some listener feedback. If you have a question you'd like for me to take up here or something that you would like to share, you can email me, danielle@daniellebean.com, or connect with me on Voxer. The link to connect with me on Voxer is always in the show notes over at ascensionpress.com. Side note, make sure you're subscribed to those show notes. Text the word girlfriends to 33777. Super easy way to make sure that we're staying connected and that you're getting all of the links and things, the good things that we share. So if you're subscribed to the show notes, you're going to get the link to check out Kathleen's book right there in your inbox. It's super easy. You don't have to go hunting anything down. Again, text the word girlfriends to 33777. But here's what I heard this week. It's just a story, not really a question from Anne, but I thought it was kind of related to the question that I took last week from Anna, ironically enough, the 18-year-old young lady who is thinking about marriage and wondering how to meet good people. So here's what Anne sent to me. Hello, I'm Anne, and I stumbled upon your Girlfriends podcast last summer. Since then, I have been listening to the past episodes while doing housework, at the gym, driving, etc. Your wisdom and advice is very much appreciated and needed. I believe that God sent me to your podcast, and you have blessed me beyond measure with your words. Thank you so much, Anna. That's very encouraging to hear. I recently listened to an episode from last March titled Finding Hope in God's Plan with Julianne Bartlett and the episode with your daughter talking about dating. And I just felt a strong urge to email you with the story of my husband and me. We met on Match.com in July of 2018. Your daughter mentioned that in her episode, and I can say that definitely can work. Your words with Julianne made me chuckle when you said that we really can limit God's plan when we try to fit that plan into our box. On my dating profile, I had an age limit of 5 years older than me, so I only could see men that fit that age range. Luckily, my husband was more open and did not have as tight an age range because he could see my profile and reached out even though there was a 12-year age gap. Now, I had no intention of being in a relationship with someone 12 years older than me, but something in me felt called to try it out. From the first date, we hit it off great. It felt so natural to be with him. The only time I even notice our age difference is when we talk about our childhoods, which were very different. I don't know if I ever would have met him because I had my blinders on. We also found out that we have several situations that could have potentially led us to meeting in person too that were just kind of insane. We got engaged in November of 2019 with the plan of getting married on the second anniversary of our first date in July 2020 with all of our friends and family. Then my plan for my life changed with COVID. We were still able to get married, but we had to make some hard decisions about who to uninvite. We'd already sent out save the dates before everything shut down. I am happy with our decision to get married with a smaller gathering. My husband's grandparents celebrated their 65th wedding anniversary a couple of days before our wedding. We had the deacon give them a special blessing during the wedding. His grandma stood up unexpectedly after the blessing and told us to always say, "I love you" to each other every night before we go to bed, even if we are mad and even if it's through gritted teeth. It was by far the most beautiful part. His grandma passed away a couple of months later, so we would have missed out on that beautiful display of married love if we would have waited to get married later. I just felt called to share our story with you after listening to several podcasts that sparked memories of it. Thank you for sharing so beautifully and faithfully. I hope you have a great day. God bless, Anne. And I want to thank you for sharing that. It's just a beautiful, uplifting story of the way that you met, the way that you stepped out in faith, the way that you went outside of your comfort zone, like I was encouraging Anna to consider doing last week, that to follow God's plan for your life and look at the beautiful fruit from that. And thank you so much for sharing that beautiful story of your husband's grandma sharing at your wedding and that you lost her just a few months later. I'm so, so grateful that you have that memory with her and that she shared those beautiful words of advice and wisdom. I bet they're going to stick with you all the more because of that. Even if you don't feel like saying "I love you" each night, you're probably going to do it for grandma if for nothing else. So I love that beautiful, beautiful story. It's so encouraging and inspiring to me. And you know what? This is what Girlfriends is all about. Sharing our stories, sharing the things that we have in common, sharing the things that encourage and inspire us. So I want to thank you for reaching out. Thank you for emailing, Anne. And if any of you listening want to send me an email similarly, if you want to share something going on in your life, if you have a thought or an idea you'd like me to take up in a future episode of Girlfriends, or if you have feedback to share on today's topic or another one that we've touched upon in recent episodes, I would love to hear from you. Send me an email, Danielle at daniellebean.com, or connect with me on social media. I'm Danielle Bean on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. All right, that's all the time we have for today, but I want to thank you for being here. I want to encourage you to extend our connection beyond the podcast and join me over at girlfriendscommunity.com. It's a growing community of faith-filled Catholic women who are looking to encourage and support each other as we live out our faith and family lives. I love what's going on there, and I would love for you to be a part of it as well. You can check it all out for free over at girlfriendscommunity.com. All right, thank you so much for being here. I hope you enjoy your day, and God bless your week. Girlfriends is a collaboration between DanielleBean.com and Ascension, the leader in Catholic faith formation.